Welcome to A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and friends. We share good news and godly wisdom to empower you to be salt and light in every season of life. Step into a pivotal conversation with David Bradshaw and Laura Allred as they unpack the vision behind Communion America, a historic gathering on the National Mall. Discover how God is mobilizing Gen Z, intercessors, and leaders across generations to gather around the communion table in unprecedented ways. You'll hear powerful stories of divine timing, answered prayers, decades in the making, and a clear call to take your place in what could be a hinge of history moment in America. After the episode, consider leaving a review and follow us on your favorite streaming service. If you've gleaned anything from this podcast, consider paying it forward with a gift at somebodycares.org. Now let's join our host, Doug Stringer.
David, there's something coming up that I want everybody to hear about. We've been all sharing it. It's happening in Washington, D.C. Take us back a moment. What was the very thing that God did to speak to you to call the largest communion table in America in Washington, D.C.?
Well, thank you for having me on. It's an honor, Doug, to be with you. So grateful for your leadership. And it's impacted my life. So we are in one of those just unusual God stories. Nothing like this has ever been done. And of course, that's the spectacle of that is not why we're doing it, but it is a remarkable moment that's coming up this October. The backstory is that we did an event like this in 2017. And I know Laura with Million Women was actually on the mall last year. So we had a couple things that were preceding this. In 2017, I know, as I recall, Doug, I think you were there as well, but we had these 58 tents filled with 1,700 worship teams for 3 days. And it was just a powerful God story, you know, and it was so powerful. It kind of created a grassroots movement that ended up in about 800 university campuses and cities across the nation over the next couple of years there, like 2018, 2019, 2020. That was just a remarkable thing. I think it's in the DNA of the church to get into the public square. I think going back to the day of Pentecost, the church was born in this public prayer meeting where there was an outpouring and the gospel was proclaimed. It's just in our culture, you know, to get into central places of influence and bring the presence of God into those places. That was a little bit of our backstory, but that moment was so holy. We didn't feel just to do another one. Yeah, I think a few people asked, you know, are you going to do it next year? Are you going to do it the year after that? And it's like, when you get into those certain kinds of God stories, moments of just kind of sovereign breakthroughs, you just don't do it because it worked last time necessarily. And so we really didn't have any intention of going back to the National Mall in the immediate future. I mean, it was just, we submitted that to the Lord. And of course, Million Women happened last year. And it was so powerful what happened there. And we didn't sense anything dramatic. And actually what happened for me on a personal level was I went through a couple of years, of really a three-year process of just the Lord dealing with my heart and just focused on family and really like soul care. It was just an unusual season. I'd been so engaged in ministry and things kind of slowed down for a couple of years. And it was a really powerful time of just God healing my soul and just strengthening our team. It was a powerful time. And so I say all that to say the last thing on our mind was re-engaging a national gathering at this scale. It was just not on the radar until we had a season of fasting and prayer with our team talking about 2025. And for the first time in 7 years, it was like one word after another was coming about a reconvening on the National Mall, which was a total shock to me. So I called my friend Jason Hershey, who leads David's Tent DC. I love Jason. I think he's one of the great unsung heroes in our nation. 10 years of 24-hour worship right there on the National Mall in a tent. I mean, many people don't even know that's happened, but he's a dear friend. And I called him and I said, Jason, you know, we're feeling for the first time in 7 years, God might be saying to reconvene on the National Mall. So he shared with me at that time a vision. He recounted he was in a 5 a.m. prayer meeting and he was leading worship. There's only like three guys there. It's 5 a.m. And he sees this vision in his mind's eye of a communion table stretching the entire length of the National Mall, just one end to the other. And the body of Christ convening from the foundation of family around the body and the blood of Jesus and a return to the centrality of communion and the power of the blood. As he's seeing this vision in this prayer meeting, the guy across the room in the same prayer meeting says out loud, I see a vision of a communion table the length of the whole National Mall. And he quotes the same passage that Jason had in his heart when he was seeing this vision, which is Luke 24, where the men were on the road to Emmaus with Jesus, you know, and their eyes were blinded. And it was when he broke the bread that they suddenly recognized him. And he felt that there was a great revelation of Christ that God wanted to release on America in the context of communion, in the breaking of the bread and the sacrament and the recalibration around the centrality of Jesus. So that really stunned me when he shared that vision. I said, Jason, this could be that. In addition to the 50 tents. So if the 50 tents weren't crazy enough, we're going to do the 50 tents again and then culminate at an over mile long communion table on October 9th through 12. Now, just to mention briefly, because there's many parts of the story, of course, we had no idea of the timing in 2025 of the potential significance of a communion revival at the center of our nation's capital right now in light of what's happening in our nation. And we just see the sovereignty and the providence of God for a convening of the nation right now. And I feel like there's two things happening right now. One, it's like two cylinders that are firing. One is we're seeing it as a result of the tragic events with Charlie Kirk's assassination and even just the bloodshed across the nation. We're seeing a mass mobilization of bold evangelism. I mean, it has caught fire. I feel like there are 1,000 young, for those that know history, 1,000 young Lonnie Frisbees that are just waking up right now, and they are blowing up our phones. I feel like they're all coming to DC in October. I mean, these guys are in their campuses. They are in the streets. I mean, it is an acceleration of this bold gospel proclamation with healing and miracles beginning to break out. I mean, without any hype, it is stunning. And so to have a national staging ground to gather around the person of Christ and commission this bold proclamation of the gospel, it is for such a time as this. And that's what we're seeing. So that's one cylinder. And then the other cylinder is this call to plead the blood for mercy and for radical forgiveness. I think both of those cylinders have to be firing. And the fact that this is a communion revival sets the stage for bold gospel proclamation and this coming together in humility, radical forgiveness. And I think what happened with Erica Kirk this past Sunday night on a global stage saying, I forgive, it was a watershed. And the communion table is not just about the sacrament. It's about coming together as one. And it really is about radical forgiveness, God's forgiveness for us and radical forgiveness for others. I think there's people across the nation whose eyes are blinded. And we fire both cylinders, bold proclamation of the gospel, biblical values, all of that. But at the same time, radical mercy, radical forgiveness, radical humility, forgiving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us, getting to the table across racial lines, across denominational lines, acknowledging that we are one in Christ and we're going to come with radical humility. When those two cylinders start to fire, I think it's a recipe for a move of God. No hype. And I feel like that is what we're seeing. I think it is critical. It's almost like Lou Engle called me the other day and he said, don't invite people to the National Mall anymore. Summon them.
That's right.
He said, let it not just be an invitation. Let it be a summoning. We must convene right now around the communion table. We must plead the blood to end bloodshed and release revival. There's more to the story because I don't want to go too long, but I mean, I'll just tell this one final piece. After I called Jason and heard his testimony and God began to confirm the timing, which was bizarre, by the way, because conventional wisdom would have been to do this in 2026. But we really felt some dramatic confirmations that it needed to be the fall of 2025. And I didn't even understand. And that's just credit to the Lord's leadership, not to us, but I felt like we should do 2026. I was telling our team and everybody sensed. And then the Lord began to give dreams of confirmation that it was the fall of 2025. And I think now we kind of understand God's timing on that. But one of the confirmations was this. I called Matt Lockett, another great friend, Bound for Life, J-Hop DC. And I said, man, we are talking about a communion table the length of the whole mall. I want to loop you into this conversation. And Matt said, you won't believe the dream I just had. He said, in the dream, a friend of mine that actually is working on our team walks out of a tent and says to Matt, do you have enough life bands for the next major gathering on the National Mall? And then he says, what gathering in the dream? And he looks down the mall and he sees tables filling the National Mall, which in the natural, he had no idea of what we were discussing. But the thing that struck us was that life prayer. And this was back going all the way back to 2005. It's something people have been praying for decades. We have these red bands. Of course, Matt and Bound for Life and J-Hop DC. I mean, they stood in front of that Supreme Court for 18 years, 7 days a week, pleading the blood, praying this prayer. Jesus, I plead your blood over my sins and the sins of my nation. God, end abortion and send revival to America. 7 days a week. And we know the story. I mean, Roe was overturned. Miracle of miracles. The thing was, the Holy Spirit was highlighting that life prayer in this dream, confirming the National Mall, which we didn't, I don't know, we fully connected the dots until we got to the moment we're in now. And we realized with the bloodshed in our nation and with the assassination of Charlie Kirk and with the hatred and vitriol that rises in moments like this, there was a great pleading of the blood to end bloodshed and send revival. And it's like the Lord is re-highlighting this prayer for another generation. And so Matt has made the decision with Lou Engle and others to amend that prayer. And we're going to give it to a new generation. And instead of just saying abortion, we're now going to say bloodshed. We're talking about the blood of Jesus ending school shootings, ending violence, political violence, ending the culture of death, and seeing great revival. And it's the second part of that prayer that's rocking all of us, I think, as well. Send revival. We could be in the days we've prayed for. We could be in the days that many of you on this Zoom have labored for in intercession for decades. I was on a call last night, Laura and I both, yesterday afternoon, with a number of leaders, and Dutch Sheets was on there just weeping about God couldn't have more strategically planned these things that are unfolding. We are in the days of 1,000 young Lonnie Frisbees that are rising up with wild boldness and proclaiming the gospel. Gen Z is shaking with the gospel right now. Friday night on the mall is going to be a Gen Z night. We have groups from all over. I mean, these evangelists, I'm getting calls from people and they're saying, hey, this guy does a Jesus march in cities. He's a Gen Zer. He's got tens of thousands of people rallying in different cities. And he just called me, goes, I'm going to do a march in DC. We're going to march to the table. This was just 2 weeks ago. He gathered 9,000 Gen Zers last time he did it in DC. And he's like, I'm doing it again. And then another group is bringing their crew one after another. And I feel like there is this supernatural convening that Jesus would be exalted. So we definitely feel God's hand on this, Doug, and thankful for your support because this has never been done. We are literally going to see 1,000 tables lining this net. We ordered 1,000 tables. The production company said, you must have said the number wrong. We said, no, we actually need 1,000 to line, and then we'll also have them in tents and stuff. So pray for us. But man, if you can join us, I'm going to just go with Lou's word. You're not just invited, you're summoned to the National Mall.
The reason I wanted Laura on here as well is a lot of people don't realize, and let me use this term properly, the synchronicity of God. What I mean is, I'm not talking about synchronism, but how God has put all these components together in people, connections that we did not even think were even divinely connected. But then in a moment, you realize God has already been orchestrating every piece, every person for moments, just like we saw in the upper room 2,000 years ago. It happened to be that every nation was represented in Jerusalem at that moment when Jesus said, tarry in the upper room. That moment when God says, this is the moment, that literally nations were impacted. And I believe this could be one of those moments that we're all stepping into. Laura and I were just together again. Laura is a spiritual daughter of Lou's and mine. I've had the pleasure of knowing Laura since she was a little girl. And Laura and I were just together at the closing of the largest abortion clinic in America in Houston just a few days ago. And we actually had our Bound for Life tape on. And then we declared seven times what you just said, David, about this new term that end bloodshed and bring revival to America. Who would have thought that in all the labor and everything that each and every one of you and all of us have labored for decades, we would see what happened already. But now we're seeing that God's about to unleash, as you said, the Lonnie Frisbees, the Charlie Kirks of this world, the evangelists and others that are being raised up on campuses across America and around the world's being impacted right now. As we take this moment, we can't lose this window. So Laura, I want you to share a little bit about your journey. We all go back to even the first call with Lou in Washington, D.C. And how is the connection and some of the things that's on your heart, Laura, since you are now the global executive director for A Million Women?
Well, it is just an honor, Doug. Thank you for your leadership. David, I want to say I'm so proud of your leadership as well. You are just sounding the alarm, and it's just an honor to be included. I fully believe this is a moment for the body of Christ to coalesce, come together, and all we just lay down our agendas and our things for the greater good of what God is doing in the nation. You know, Doug, as you mentioned, you know, you've known me since I was a teenager, or even before. Grew up in Houston, Texas. I was at the very first call with Lou Engle back in 2000 as a young adult. I made the 25-hour drive from Houston to D.C. to be at that call. Being there with my feet on the grass that day shifted the trajectory of my life. I could have very easily said, look, I'm just this Mexican girl from the East End in Houston. Nobody will know if I'm actually there or not. But I knew in the spirit that my prayers of agreement mattered. And Communion America is just such a moment again that you could say, oh, wow, David's saying all these great Gen Z kids are going to be there. I don't need to go. But no. It's urgent that we take our stand in the gate of our nation together in the spirit of unity, just like, you know, you mentioned in the upper room. And as David was talking, the last few days, I've just been thinking about the upper room. I've been thinking about unity. I've been thinking about Psalm 133, where the word says how blessed it is when we come together in unity. It's like an oil that runs down the beard of the priest, right? But it also runs down, I believe, to the nation as a healing balm. So, you know, being at that very first call, it sent my life on a trajectory where I wholeheartedly believe in these united prayer gatherings. I also want to honor Lewis Hogan, who is on the call, who has been faithful on the wall, building a tower of prayer around the nation. And it's these generals, men and women, who have been faithful on the wall, that when we link arms side by side, we come together almost like there's metal and magnet, you know, shoulder to shoulder, to build this wall of prayer around the nation. This is what shifts the culture. And so, you know, through those 25 years of praying with Lou, you know, last year, as David referenced, we did A Million Women. You know, a year ago right now, David, I was exactly where you were, you know, mobilizing. And I know just the lead up into a gathering like this. And he's right. You don't just call a national gathering year after year. People have come to me and said, oh, you should do A Million Women again next year in DC. And I'm like, no. You don't just call a national gathering. Like, you have to get confirmation after confirmation, just as David has received to call a national gathering. But I believe when a national gathering is called after such confirmation, and as spiritful believers, we have our antennas up and we go, we are at a hinge of history moment. I do believe that we drop everything we do and we go to the gathering, right? And so, you know, A Million Women is now a global movement. We are doing A Million Women in Sao Paulo, Brazil, in literally 1 month, October 25th. But back to America, I believe what God accomplished at A Million Women, the prayer assignment for us on that day specifically was to pull down the demonic principality of Ishtar, which is the ancient principality that represents all things sexual perversion, pornography, homosexuality, the LGBTQ agenda, the abortion, you know, sacrifice to the demonic god. You know, she represents all of this. And that was our specific assignment that day, that as women, as Esthers, as Mordecais, we were gathering to declare war and to really pull down Ishtar over America. Well, since that prayer gathering, we have seen answer to prayer after answer to prayer after answer to prayer, prayers that we have been believing for decades. For instance, the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is now federally defunded. Praise the Lord. We've been praying for that for decades. That massive abortion clinic that Star and I and many other women walked from back in 2012. We have been praying for 15 years that that massive mega abortion clinic would close. Well, guess what? It is closing this week. On day one of Trump's presidency, he declared there are two official genders in America, male and female. These are the kind of things that we were praying for on October 12th. So we're seeing amazing answer to prayer. And I believe that is a testament to mass united prayer and fasting. So now, where are we in America? I believe Ishtar has been pulled down, but all of a sudden, we have seen the onslaught of increased innocent bloodshed in our nation. Even this morning, from Dallas, Texas, where I live, there's another innocent bloodshed at an ICE detention facility. And so I believe that in God's wisdom and sovereignty, just to echo what David said, there is an innocent bloodshed agenda of the enemy that together, as we gather around the table of the Lord and we hold the blood of Jesus and we say, there is no higher authority, there is no blood, higher than the blood of Jesus, that we can push back this agenda of innocent bloodshed in our nation. And so we have repurposed this prayer. Jesus, I plead your blood over my sins and the sins of my nation. God, end bloodshed and send revival to America. I want to close with this. I want to read this quote. I used to have it memorized, but it's been some time. And this is a quote from Lou Engle. Maybe you've heard it before, but I want to declare it again, because I believe this is where we are. He says, there are moments in history when a door for massive change opens and great revolutions for good and for evil spring up in the vacuums that are created by these openings. It's in these divine moments that key men named David Bradshaw, named Doug Stringer, Lewis Hogan, and key women named Laura Allred and Belinda Thacker, and even entire generations risk everything to become the hinge of history, the pivotal point that determines which way the door is going to swing. We are in a hinge of history moment in America. Will this increased violence, some are saying, could even potentially turn to a civil war? Or will the body of Christ rise up in a mass forgiveness movement? Will we go low, declare the blood of Jesus higher, and determine that that door will swing for righteousness? This is how urgent the moment is for America. So I just want to encourage you, consider rallying your networks, consider setting the trumpet to your mouth, consider maybe changing your plans for October 9th through 12th, and join us on the mall. I would say, and David, you can correct me if I'm wrong in this, the 9th through the 12th is 4 days. If you can only make a window of, or a small window work, although we would love for you to come for the whole time, consider joining us on October 11th when we have that national communion table. And
Yes.
lift up the blood of Jesus over America. This has never been done in our nation. And we believe this one act alone could just be this atomic bomb that would push back continued bloodshed in America. So hold it before the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit if you're to be there. And if you are, just want to encourage you, pivot your plans and be there with us.
Something I learned from the late Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole. He would say that prayer produces intimacy to whom you pray, with whom you pray in agreement, because agreement's a place of power, and then for whom you pray. Both of you were sharing that it's not about what we're against. We stand for biblical righteousness. We stand for the plumb line. We're not swinging the pendulum. We are the plumb bobs, the plumb line of the Lord. But in the midst of that, we're showing mercy, forgiveness, compassion. A lot of what people see is the successes of people's lives. They see events, but this is not about the event. This is about seeking God's presence, his heart, and then being used by God to be impactful in a generation that impacts the world. I've watched both of you privately. Now, David, I don't know if you know this, but at one of our gatherings that you were facilitating, I was in Washington, D.C. I happened to walk up to a window and I looked down where nobody knew you were. You're pacing, you're crying out to God. Laura, I've seen you on multiple occasions where you just wept before God, not in the public eye, but in the private place. That tells me that what we do in our posture in private has everything to do with our public impact. And I believe the reason that God's called your generation and called you up to this moment, and the rest of us, you know, we're like the old Samuels now calling out destiny in the younger generation. The fact is that God's using you not because you're necessarily gifted, which you are, but it's because what he's seen you do in the private place, in travail, in seeking after him, in that place of personal consecrations. Others may, I may not. That you've gone to a deeper level of consecration with great expectation in the Lord. And I've seen how each of you have, over the years, emerged into the place of being gatherers, but gatherers not for just an event, gatherers for movements that are impacting the nation, impacting nations. We have more people praying. We have the National Day of Prayer, which I'm a part of, fasting movements, prayer movements. I facilitated 40 days of fasting and prayer for hundreds of churches and when it wasn't popular back in the 1990s, mid-90s.
I was there.
Amen. And so those are things that we did, not knowing what God was going to stir. But it wasn't about the event. It was about his presence, about having his heart, about that place of deeper consecration. And I believe we're in that moment. We're seeing with our eyes what we've all been crying out for. Even Star, who's watching this Zoom right now, her grandfather was in Azusa Street. We see all these things that are in this moment that I believe a prophetic generation is emerging. And both of you share, because it's not about the event. It's not about just trying to gather people together. It really is about a movement of getting people back on their knees and then getting that commission of God to go forth and impact their generation and the nations around the world. God has a larger plan that all of us did not know how God was going to put all these pieces together. And yet, look at God. Look at what he's been doing. Could this be a moment that we step into? And Paul Cole and I, the Christian Men's Network, we talk about this because it's not about just a million women. It's not just about Mordecai's. It's not just about Gen Z. I believe God's raising up a multi-generational connection, as it talks about in Psalm 110, verse 2 and 3, that an army of volunteers would rise up for the day of God's power. This is that moment. Could this be what Joel is talking about, what Acts 2 is talking about? Could this be the culmination of all the words ever spoken? This is the moment. And David, you mentioned about Lonnie Frisbee's and the Jesus Revolution, and of course, my longtime friend that ended up passing recently, Chuck Girard, who was a part of the movie and a part of the original founding of Love Song that was a part of the Jesus Revolution. It's reminiscent today of what it was like back in the 60s and 70s. Fires around the nation. There was rioting. There was things going on. And it was against the war, Vietnam War. But in the midst of the most difficult, humanly impossible situations, a people were calling upon God. And God showed up and brought us the Jesus Revolution. Could this be in that very kind of moment, that reminiscent of those days, that God's about to do something that would shake the world, not in the way that the world has been trying to shake, but the way that God is going to bring a new generation, a multi-generational prophetic generation, preparing the way for the presence of God and the coming of the Lord. I believe that's true. That's what we've been crying out for. I believe that's why God's calling each of you and others to rise up to these moments. I believe this is not about just a women's movement or a Gen Z movement. It really is about getting generations, Mordecai's and men to rise up and to be the body of Christ we're called to be. How can people find out how to get involved? And then, Laura, how can people get involved with a million women? And also, how can we get behind undergirding both of you? There's a price paid and the sacrifices made to build the foundations that you guys are working on, helping to leverage many people. There's the hidden place of travail and tears. And God, I want you to know, David and Laura, God has heard your tears. As Spurgeon said, tears are like liquid prayers. Well, you know, God has heard your tears. And we're going to see with our eyes that we've all been praying for, what you've been laboring for.
Well, Doug, I thank you for just your words. It's so meaningful coming from a father. I'm so thankful for what you've pioneered. And we are in this together. I've often said is in these generational moments, it's not pass the baton, it's hold the baton together. I mean, I think it's a kingdom culture. That really is what's happening. It's all of us. I just wanted to mention this one thing. In April, I was in the mountains with Lou, was on a 40-day water fast, and he was in California, and about five guys went into this little cabin at Shasta Mountain and just fasted on water and coffee, just keep it real, for a few days. And right in the middle of it, Lou did his classic move, and he said, let's call my friend Chris Berglund, see if he had a dream last night. So we're all water fasting, and we call Chris, and Chris says, yeah, in fact, I did. He said, in the dream, the grandson of Frank Bartleman and a man named Jacob Peterson were serving communion. And of course, we know the grandson of Frank Bartleman represents that Azusa Street outpouring, the fruit of that outpouring in the early 1900s that you referenced earlier, where it's an authentic outpouring. Yeah. That rocked the world. But nobody knew in that group who Jacob Peterson was. It just seemed like a random name. So we're looking up what's the meaning of Peter's son, the son of, you know, just doing all this. And I said, did anybody look up Jacob Peterson? So I just Googled the guy's name. Well, it turns out he's the pastor of the Ramp Church in Alabama. So we called them. Jacob calls me back and he says, you won't believe this, but I'm in transition and I'm taking a pastoral leadership role at Brownsville Assembly of God right now, which was that outpouring in the mid 90s. Which happens to be where I was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit at 15 years old. I stood in line for 12 hours as a 15-year-old, went into that Brownsville Assembly of God and got radically, radically encountered by the Lord. And they were both serving communion in the dream. I think that in this great communion revival, as we recalibrate, in a sense, around the body and blood of Christ and begin to apply the blood, I think that there is a historic outpouring in God's heart. Yeah. For our nation, for the nations. And we've labored for this for years. And I think to discern the times, I mean, again, we're not trying to hype a moment here, but just simply to acknowledge the season we're in, we could be in that time where there's in God's calendar, there's scheduled another historic outpouring on another generation, and that we get to be a part of that. And so that's what's rumbling as you were just talking. I think it is that secret intercession. So number one, I would appeal to all that are watching, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, let's do what Bartleman did and begin to labor in fasting and prayer for this outpouring. Jacob Peterson is now at Brownsville. I was able to go down and do a prayer night there at Brownsville a couple of weeks ago where I hadn't been since I was 15 years old. And they've relaunched these communion services, which started the Brownsville outpouring. I'm just saying all that to say we are in a divine storyline, and I would appeal to you, pray with us. Don't lose heart, like Jesus said in his parables, that we would not lose heart. I believe we're at a tipping point. I really sincerely believe it. Pray with us, number one. Number two, join us on the National Mall. It is October 9 through 12. If you can register for free, that really helps us because the Park Service needs to see the numbers. And a lot of times when there's a free event, people just think, I'll just go. But man, it helps us if you just get on communionamerica.com and register, and all the other info's there, schedule. And I agree with what Laura said. October 11th is the day of the table. Come the whole time, but if you have to pick and choose, come on that Saturday. We are literally going to gather at a communion table the length of the mall. We're going to humble ourselves before the Lord. My wife had a dream about this gathering where she saw this. It was a humility flag laying on the ground.
Come on.
It was titled Humility. And she saw thousands of people lined up. And she heard in the dream, the Lord counted down from 10. And then this race to humility. And we all prostrated ourselves before the Lord and began to cry out to God. We're literally, our goal is to get massive word humility written right there at the center of the National Mall. And we want to do the dream as America, put our face on the ground and say revival or bust. And now is the time we're going to seize our moment. We're going to let our voice be heard, not just in the media before the nation, but before heaven.
Yes.
And just believe what Bartleman saw in his day and what Brownsville saw in those days, we are going to see again. And I believe it's 2025. I believe it's this year. So join us, register, pray. I mean, those are the big things. And if you feel led to give too, that would be awesome.
I had no idea that you were at Brownsville when you were 15 years old, and that's where you gave your life to the Lord. And all these years that I've known of you and have been around the things that you're doing, again, it brings back the point, what seems to be unrelated pieces are actually connected. Dr. Lewis Cole was like a spiritual father and one of the greatest global men's movements. And Dr. Paul Cole is leading that now. And Leonard Ravenhill being like a spiritual grandpa. And so I had my team of about 20-something of our team. We're having a weekend with Leonard Ravenhill in East Texas. And a man comes in, asks me permission to sit as a fly on the wall. And I said, well, sure. He goes, I just came off the mission field from Argentina. I said, well, what's your name? He said, Steve Hill. So Stephen Hill and I became friends at that moment. So wow. Fast forward to the revival at Brownsville, he would call me and say, Doug, please come. And you know, I have to tell you, I was a little bit in the flesh thing. I don't want to stand in line for 12 hours to get in. If you'll come and just see what's happening here, you can stay in my condo and you can come in and late in the afternoon and come in the back door and we'll pray together. I saw firsthand what you're talking about, David, and why so many came to Christ. And again, who would have thought that connection with you would now fast forward to now Communion America. And then we see what's happening even with the communion table, because I want people to understand this. We're talking about 1 mile long, a communion table, 1 mile long, a mile and a half long. And then 50 tents from 50 states and representation of all over the world of people worshiping and praying 24/7, representative states and regions. I don't think people realize the power in communion. It opens your eyes, you said, David, but the power of communion. When I went through my stage 4 B-cell lymphoma cancer in 2015, from the end of March of 2015 till we had a clean bill of health on November 10th in 2015, we decided to take communion every single day as a family. And I believe that there's something about communing in the Lord, consecrating ourselves in our covenant with God, and then communing together that mm-hmm. God moves in some powerful yes. ways. Healing, salvation, liberation, deliverance, and freedom comes as we take communion in the presence of God together, one voice, one sound, one church, in that moment that God would show up in his glory and literally turn things around that is impossible for man, but not impossible for God.
I have been on this journey of remembrance. The Holy Spirit has been taking me on my own remembrance journey. And Pensacola was a huge part of my life as well. And from Houston, Texas to Pensacola was a 10-hour drive one way. I started going with friends and they started getting tired of the drive. And I would just go by myself before cell phones. I had to print out my MapQuest pages to figure out directions. And I think I drove over 20 times during the Brownsville revival because I was so hungry for the Lord. And, you know, I don't know, I'm not prophetic enough to see all the connections, but I hear them. You know, David, how you were marked, you know, Doug, your connection and my personal connection. I do believe that this is, you know, I've been in the body of Christ long enough to see. We went through the worship movement. We used to pray out of hymnals. We went through the worship movement, right? Then the prayer movement, then the fasting movement. Now it's the great communion revival. And so maybe there is just this culmination. The Lord is making her bride ready. And it's just an honor to be right in the middle of all of it. I've been hearing the Lord say, these are the days. These are the days, Lewis, that we have been praying for decades for our nation. These are the days, Paul, that your dad contended for in for men to rise up. These are the days. So don't miss it. A million women. We're going to Sao Paulo, Brazil, October 25th. And then we're not ready to quite announce the nation in Africa that we will be in 2026. But the dream of a million women, and what I believe the Lord has called a million women to do, is to go into nations around the earth to pull down demonic principalities through united prayer and fasting and Joel 2 Psalm assemblies, rebuild the altar of the Lord and covenant nations back to Jesus. And then there will be a day, and not too long from now, where we will call all of these global Esthers who have been awakened all over the world to make a spiritual aliyah to Israel to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the return of the Lord, because this is the centrality, really. This is where Jesus will return. And so we're going to go around the world. We're awakening a global army of end time Esthers and Mordecais to contend in the place of prayer. We're going to disciple women how to pray, how to fight for their families. And then we're going to assemble this army one day, all those details to be hashed out, to come to Israel to believe for the return of the Lord, to join there together to pray. So you can go to 1millionwomen.org to stay connected, to be on our email list, to get connected, to pray with us. But I want to believe, I'm believing with David and the Awaken the Dawn team and Communion America, that Communion America on before October 9th will be fully funded. This was a divine blessing that the Lord gave to 1 million women. And so I have the faith, David, to believe with you that by the time you get to DC in October for the night, that this gathering, this 4-day gathering, will be fully funded. So
amen.
I just want to echo, if you will, if you feel led to give to Communion America, you can go to communionamerica.com. There are giving links there to register. Let me just say this. We had a fraction of the registrations of the actual participants on the day of, like a fraction. We were shocked when, you know, some are saying as many as 350, some have even said 375,000 gathered on October 12th for 1 million women. We were like, where did you all come from? We are so glad you're here, but where did you come from? Because you certainly didn't register. So I just want to encourage you to go ahead and register for Communion America. It's very, very helpful as you're organizing. So into them. Be there October 9th through the 12th.
Amen. Laura, that is so powerful. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Okay. That Jerusalem thing is rocking me right now. That's the first time I heard that. Oh, my gosh. Sign me
come
up.
On. So the Lord told me.
I just want to make sure the Mordecais are welcome to go too, right?
The Mordecais. Every woman is an Esther and every man is a Mordecai. You know, that's what we said leading up to 1 million women. As soon as 1 million women was over, the Lord spoke to me almost as close to audible as I've ever heard him. And he said, we are in a 5-year global Esther and Mordecai Kairos moment. And I believe it opened, the door opened with 1 million women. We are going to go to every continent and we're going to rally the end time Esthers and Mordecais all over the world. So please stay connected with us. If you feel to give, if you want to become a monthly partner, we would love all of that as well, as we are an infant ministry that was birthed as a global prayer movement and we could use all the help we could get.
Amen. Wow. Dr. Paul Cole, I'm going to have you pray a blessing, because as your father was even called the father of the modern day men's movement, Coach McCartney, the founder of Promise Keepers, would say that. And but Dr. Paul Cole, I want you to pray as the leader of the worldwide men's movement, and as a father and as a grandfather, would you pray generationally over David and Laura as well for the release of what is in their spirit, what God has called them to do? And I just pray you would pray that blessing over them.
Yeah, just a side note, just my personal side note, David, I produced the television special, The Miracle of Pensacola, which went across the nation around the world. And so I was kind of there in the early things. Then I was at Love Song's first ever concert at Calvary Chapel. There were 250 people there.
Wow.
So I've been around, seen a lot of things. And I remember when we did the call, the original. People said it couldn't be done, and it was done because prayer changes things. Now, we've got a team on the ground in Uganda right now. We've got a team that just got back from Vietnam, training pastors to disciple men. So let me just pray this over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I call out the spirit of Father. And Lord, I thank you. You're raising up the Daniels, strong men. You're raising up the Esthers. You're raising up those who are willing to go to battle with reckless abandon. So, Father, I speak life and anointing. Lord, I thank you that it's that second part of Ezekiel where everything comes together. Father, I speak a coming together anointing, a coming together. Father, raise up the mighty men. Raise up the mighty women of war. Raise up where your warriors. Raise up, Father, I thank you that a warrior is not a man of war. A warrior is a man of peace who understands that peace is always a result of strength. Raise up those who are strong. Raise up, Father, in the name of Jesus. I speak over David, speak over Laura. I speak your anointing. I speak anointed wisdom and strategy, unusual divine connections, symbiotic strategies, Father, things that come together unexpected. Unexpected. So, Father, I pray, shock the media barons and shock those who think they're in power. Shake them so that the only thing left is those things that cannot be shaken. Father, you said in John 16:33 to us that you told us all of these things, Jesus, that we would be unshakable. And I thank you for that. I pray anointing on them. Pray power. I pray divine strength. I pray provision in Jesus' name to the glory of the Father, expecting to receive those things for which we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Father, I agree, and I just stand in agreement because agreement's a place of power. I thank you, Lord, that even as we're taping this interview right now in preparation for releasing it, I thank you, Lord, that we're in the middle of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur coming up, the 10 days of awe. And I thank you, Lord, that according to Jewish tradition, that on the first day of the month of Tishri, it is written, the word went forth in Ezra, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. It's the 21st day of Tishri that you spoke to Zerubbabel and to Joshua and the people, and you spoke to them and talked about the glory of the latter house would come. I thank you, Lord, that even through the shakings, that we have an expectation of knowing that you're God that keeps your promise, Lord, because we serve a God where you promise us that you are with us, that the word of the Lord is with us, and that your Holy Spirit remains with us. I thank you. It is written, but Lord, on Yom Kippur, it is said it is sealed. So Lord, we declare right now what you're doing with a million women, what you're doing with Awaken the Dawn, what you're doing with Communion America and this generation rising up. We declare it is written, and it is sealed, God. We agree according to your word, nature, character, and spirit for this generation to arise, to be that prophetic generation, leading us in the way as forerunners to resist the spirit of death that has been unleashed, to resist the shakings that are going on, and raise up a generation of forerunners who have prepared the way for the coming of the Lord in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. We encourage everyone, please get the word out, share the websites for Awaken the Dawn and for Communion America, for a million women. You prayed and prayed for God to raise up a generation. What the world said about this generation, Gen Z, Alpha, the millennials, but I declare it's the generation, just like Fuchsia Pickett said, one of the greatest latter-day outpourings would be the Father heart of God upon a generation. Let this be that generation. And remember, as I said in Isaiah chapter 1, all of our prayers, all of our kumbayas that God talked about in Isaiah 1, he says, I don't regard them. Yes, he regards prayer. What he's saying is because you've not dealt with justice, you've not dealt with the shedding of innocent blood, you've not taken care of the widow, the orphan, the fatherless. And so in the midst of all that, God's saying, look, I want you to seek me in intercession, fasting, and prayer. I want you to commune with me. But now let's deal with the issues of the shedding of innocent blood. Let's deal with injustices, and let's take care of the fatherless and the widow. Mm-hmm. That is pure and undefiled religion. And that's what God is calling this generation to do. And we're coming alongside to give strength to come forth in your destiny. And we come alongside because, as Hezekiah said in Isaiah chapter 37, this is a day of trouble and distress because the children or a generation are ready to come into their destiny, but there's no strength to deliver. So we declare right now that as a former generation, we come alongside, we give you strength to push into that place God's called you to. We call out your destiny. We undergird you. We bless you. And we release you as we work with you to see this prophetic generation arise and the coming of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Well, Lewis, would you pray?
Father, I just thank you so much for David, Heavenly Father, so much for Laura. Lord, we're amazed as we see you putting together all the pieces, Lord, for the gathering communion and what's leading up to it, God, with the 50 state prayers that is happening right now in state capitals, Lord, across the nation, going to D.C. in October. Father, I thank you for that, Lord, and our hearts are full of expectancy. And our hearts are full of hope, God, for this season that we're in, that as Laura said, as David said, Lord, as Doug said, Lord, that this is a culmination of prayers that have gone forth for many, many years, Lord. Father, we see the culmination of that coming together in D.C., and we say yes and amen to everything, Lord, you're going to be doing in our midst during those 4 days and beyond, Lord. That's really a beginning, Lord, of what you're going to be doing even beyond October. And God, we'd give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. I speak blessings on David and his family, Laura, And Lord, we just bless them today and so thankful for their voices in this nation, Lord, and to their generation and the generations, Lord, that are alive today to see all that you're doing. I say, and I really believe that we're alive in the days that those have gone before us, the forefathers of the faith, they long to live in the days that we are living in to see what we're seeing and to be a part of this. And we're so grateful. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and Friends, and ask you to prayerfully consider supporting the ministry at somebodycares.org or by texting your donation amount to 805-422-7348. Please join us again for A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and Friends.